This is the Word in the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Today I'm sitting again with Tom and Tyler, and our topic of discussion is communion. How do we shepherd our hearts to participate in the Lord's table in a way that glorifies and is honoring to the Lord? This is a practice we participate in together almost every week in our corporate gathering. And I think it's a helpful topic of discussion to think through how do we do this week in, week out in a way that really gets at the heart of the instruction for the church in participating in this, and how we should think about these things and again, practice the Lord's table in a way that pleases the Lord. Before we dive into that, Tom, would love to hear from you. Why do we do this? Why does the church call to take communion together? What is it? Just talk a little bit about that. Maybe lay the foundation for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an important place to start, being this is something we do pretty much on a weekly basis. And first and foremost, I would say communion is about worshiping God. We are worshiping Him for our Savior. We're worshiping Him for His perfect plan of salvation. We're worshiping Him for the gift of Jesus coming from heaven to earth. And communion's for our benefit. It is a reminder of where our hope is. Not only is it a benefit for where our hope is, but there's a benefit for us just doing a heart and mind check of where we are in the Lord and how we're worshiping. Mm-hmm.
That's good. When thinking about communion together, I think it's important that we go back to when it was started, and that was obviously the Passover, the Last Supper that Jesus had with His disciples before He was betrayed, before He went to the cross, and Jesus knowing all that was about to take place. We find in Matthew 26:26, we see the institution of the Lord's Supper, or of communion, with the disciples. And I just want to start by reading that. In verse 26 of Matthew 26, it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.' And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom.'" And so that's where we see it started. And then if you got your Bible handy, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 11. That's where we see it being practiced and instruction for actually not just the disciples, but the New Testament church to do it as a practice. And so I'm going to read some from 1 Corinthians 11 as well. Again, just to kind of set the stage of the instruction that was given to the church. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again.'" And I love how Paul highlights that until He comes again, you're proclaiming His death, but you're also anticipating His return. And in the same way Jesus told His disciples, He wouldn't drink of the vine again until He returns. There's an anticipation that was on the disciples' mind of Christ's return and what it would be like for them when they got to feast with Christ again. And so thinking about communion, we know the bread is a symbol representing Jesus' body. The juice is a symbol, or the wine representing His blood. These are symbols for us to remember Christ. When we're thinking about preparing our hearts to take communion, Tyler, maybe talk about what are some practical ways that we can remember Christ well through the means of these symbols.
Yeah. The first thing I think of was actually back in Matthew. You were there in... what he says as his blood is being poured out, it was for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is great for us to be remembering the gospel ahead of time before we come to our normal church gathering, and to remember, what have I been saved from? And to remember that what I brought to the table here is sin. Mm-hmm. And particular sins. Yeah. I think you're even in mind there with the plural. And so I need to be actually in the practice of confessing my sins, and turning from them, even in preparation of communion.
It's good. Tom, any thoughts in addition to that you'd add? Or,
you know, I absolutely agree with Tyler on keeping the main point of the new covenant, that there is the forgiveness of sins, but where else are we going to turn for hope?
Mm-hmm.
When you read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, of just the reminder that he will return, that Jesus will return, that's our hope.
Mm-hmm.
And by the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, we have great reason for hope, and it's only believers that hope like this.
Yeah. I appreciate the tangible symbols, the intentional remembrance, because I know how fickle my heart is, and there's a line in the song, Come Thou Fount, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, seal it for thy courts above. And there's just a reality of our hearts wanting to be distracted, mm-hmm. finding ourselves torn between temporal things and eternal things. We're not all that we will be one day as we live in this flesh where we battle sin and our flesh wages war against us. And so these tangible reminders that we can actually pick up with our hand, taste in our mouth, engage our senses in, to remember Christ and his sacrifice, the blood that was poured out and his body being crushed, is so helpful. So grateful for those reminders, and just really an exceptional expression of spiritual care of Jesus for his people. And I agree with you both. The more prepared, and Tyler, you were talking about shepherding your heart with the gospel and the importance of that, renewing your mind with the truth of the gospel. I think that should just be a multiple time a day, daily occurrence for the believer, and will only enhance and help that time during corporate worship where we're doing this remembrance together in the Lord's table. And there is a reality that you can be shepherding your heart with the gospel, getting ready to go to church, and all of a sudden something happens with one of your children. They need to be addressed. Maybe there's a conflict between you and your spouse. Maybe there's something, somebody cuts you off on the road on the drive to church, or you're walking in the church and somebody says something that just is hard for you to hear, or looks at you funny, or whatever. And here you are now, your heart is not engaged with the truth as it ought to be. You know the communion meditation is coming, which I find particularly helpful for my own heart for those moments to be kind of recalibrated. How should I think about my participation? I mean, in an ideal world, we've all prepared beforehand, then we get the preparation and song that's encouraging, then we get the communion devotional. Now I'm ready to remember and really do this in a worshipful way. What about when all of those preparatory things are upended? Even a child is acting up during the service, and I don't get the benefit of the full devotion. How should I think about participating in those moments?
It's a great question. I've never had that happen on the way to church where it's, No, we all have.
That's because
had.
You just levitate in glory to church.
No,
right
we
now.
Have, we have all had those moments where you could sit down and think, wow, this was really difficult getting yep. here today. Yep. I would just point out, these words in that Jesus is speaking are in the imperative form. It is, do this. Mm-hmm. Tom, do this. And so even when my fickle heart is not in a place of remembering, because I'm remembering the difficulty of just getting to church, it is good to be called back by Jesus' words that there is a purpose why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. I need to remember.
Yeah.
The Lord knows what's best for me, and that's why it's in the imperative. Do this in remembrance of me. So I would say, for those days where it was difficult coming to church and you're feeling like, I'm not prepared for this, no, we're never prepared.
Mm-hmm.
We're never perfect enough.
Yeah.
I need to remember this.
Well, and I think that's the tension that we can feel, though, especially when you think about what Paul says next. He says in verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 11, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And then he says, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. And so I think for some, when those circumstances are upended and it's hard, there is a right recognition of the reverence of the moment and the worship that you want it to be unto the Lord, and a fear of not wanting to take in an unworthy manner. But what I think happens is that we can conflate or confuse what it means to take communion in an unworthy manner. Maybe one of you guys talk about how should we think about, is taking communion in an unworthy manner, well, I just sinned and now I don't think I'm in a right spot to take communion. That would be unworthy of me because this is supposed to be worship and my heart feels hard right now. Or what would constitute an unworthy manner, and how do we think about that?
It's a great question. I would just say the low-hanging fruit there is unworthy manner would be first a non-believer taking communion. But second is an evaluation of your heart. I know over the years I've had people make comments like, I'm feeling very hard-hearted today and I don't want to repent. And I think that's the tying of the word examine himself along with an unworthy manner are important, because a believer needs to always be prepared to repent when sin comes to mind. And I would say, you know, if somebody is sitting there and they don't feel like repenting of their sin, they need to do what Paul is calling them here. You need to examine yourself, because the mark of a believer is the mark of daily, continual repentance. And so I think having a conversation like this is helpful, because maybe you've sat there before and just thought, I'm really don't feel like repenting. Mm-hmm. And I would say you really need to examine yourself, because that's not the fruit of a believer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's insightful. I know that the temptation can be to make communion a performance-based event.
Right.
Have I been good enough this week to remember? And the whole point is remembering you could never be good enough.
Yeah.
It's the blood of Christ you needed. It was his sacrifice in your place that you desperately needed. So the right examination is not, did I have more good than bad? Or did I have more good than bad on the way to church? Or sitting through the first few songs, was my heart engaged well enough? The point is, we could never be what God calls us to be. We need Christ, and he provided all that we need. Our righteousness is found in him. Those are the things that we're remembering, that our salvation was purchased through his blood, through his sacrifice in our place. So in that moment of evaluation, you're not looking to your performance. You're looking, am I a repenter?
Yeah.
Do I believe? Am I trusting God with the things that he calls me to trust him with? And if I'm not, now's the time to start doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the examination. Don't wait. Right. Don't delay. Do it then. Take the bread and the cup and remember Christ. Yeah. And I think oftentimes we want to find this category. Well, what if I, you're just looking for the back door to get out of it at that point. Just repent. That's what believers do.
It's a great point, Josh, because I know I would recommend to anyone who finds themselves sitting there and just even in the midst of examining themselves to participate in the Lord's Supper, something comes to mind. It is in that moment making a commitment to the Lord, I am going to take care of this. If it's a harsh word trying to get out the door to come to church, it's a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I agree with you. That was sinful. In a commitment, I am going to deal with this properly. I would say, don't exclude yourself from the communion table in a moment like that, but make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, this is something I need to take care of. Take communion, and then afterwards, as soon as possible, be reconciled where there's been something that has troubled you, or complete your repentance if there's a sin that has been brought to mind in the midst of the communion devotion and service.
That's good counsel, Tom, because I've also heard, and I've even seen practiced an apprehension about taking communion until all the sin is addressed in your heart or in your life in fullness, or if there's conflict with somebody else, you need to go resolve that conflict before you take communion so you don't take it in an unworthy manner. And I know that the people that I've heard advocate for that are well-intending, mm-hmm. and they're actually basing that, typically the explanation that I've heard is from Matthew 5 in verse 23. Thank you. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. And I appreciate the sentiment there, but I think if you're trying to like that instruction to communion, you're actually missing the point of communion.
Right.
Communion is not us bringing something to God as an offering.
Yep.
It's us remembering what God has brought to us in Christ,
right.
The offering that was paid by Christ in our behalf. And so when you're thinking about reconciling and repentance, remembering rightly before God who you are, what you deserve, what you've received in Christ, is actually an expression of the beginning of repentance. Repentance starts in the mind, in the heart, and then produces fruit outwardly. And so if you're thinking, well, I can't take communion because I spoke unkindly to my wife on the way to church, and I need to go fix that first. I love the heart. I love the sentiment and desire for reconciliation. You will, I believe, be better equipped to step into that conversation when you've remembered what you've received from Christ.
Amen.
Rightly,
that's good.
Looked away from yourself and your own righteousness, and looked to Christ. And so I think what you said, Tom, is right on. Take communion. Remember, direct your heart towards those things. And then, at the next appropriate moment, confess that sin to the individual you sinned against. Seek reconciliation, humble yourself, and let the fruit of your remembrance produce righteousness in your life that isn't grounded on independence, or I got to clean myself up, or do things first.
Going back to the original question, how do I direct my heart? If things are going crazy all around me, if I'm not right, communion is a tool to direct our hearts.
Yeah, it's a grace from God.
It is something I need to be instructed from.
Yep.
And so I need to actually practice being instructed from this remembrance and remembering the Lord is coming. That puts everything into perspective. What he has done, what he is about to do, what he will do.
Amen.
And I need to humble myself under that.
You know, Tyler, something you said just made me have the thought, communion makes us better worshipers.
Mm.
It prepares our heart. Mm.
Amen. And that should be the desire for each of us. Thank you, men. Good conversation.
Can't wait to be together at the next Lord's table on Saturday.
That's right. Mm. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.